This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, it is time to jump back into the national scene. And that's where we talk with events with a great Dr. David Caputo, of course. Emeritus Pace University, of course, and former political science professor as well, retired political science professor at Pace, and always a pleasure. Sir, how are you?
I'm fine. Yourself, Jay?
I am doing well. I'm just trying to keep a top of what is happening, and there is plenty. And it looks like
impossible to do.
I tell you, you really have to keep a diary. That's what it's all about, because you know current events of importance happens on a daily basis. There's no question. And it looks like you know you kind of get a sense that the end is apparently near, at least with the Russia investigation. I know the Attorney General William Barr. He's set to announce the completion of Bob Mueller's probe. It could be as soon as next week, according to people who are familiar with the plans. So a summary of his confidential report would then be given to Congress, though at this point still not clear, I guess, when lawmakers would actually get it or what its scope would be. So interesting developments here with this probe.
It is, and I would disagree in saying that it's over or it's approaching to be over, because we're now going to have the discussion and I think a subsequent political fight over how much of it is going to be divulged and how it's going to be divulged and when it's going to be divulged. And I think that'll be a key issue for perhaps the next few weeks or months as we learn more about the probe and exactly what happened and did not happen and how specific we get. So I think part of it will depend upon the reaction from Congress, which I assume will be highly partisan, and part of it will depend upon the reaction of the American public as to whether or not they're satisfied with the information that they're getting from the report. So, and then finally, I would just add that it appears that there will be subsequent investigations or current investigations going on at other levels in terms of Southern District, in terms of New York Attorney General, other investigations. And so I think it's far from over, but the Mueller probe itself may be ending. And so it'll be very interesting to see what comes from it.
It's interesting here because, you know, people are so dug in with their opinions that really whatever ultimately comes out won't change many a mind out there regarding this stuff.
That appears to be the case, although we just don't know, you know, what would happen if the report were to be make conclusive statements either way, either that there was an organized attempt to both involve the Russians and also obstruction of justice, but it can't be proven, or that it is that there wasn't at the highest levels. I think it depends. And I think you are correct, though. I think the ultimate arbiter in all of this is going to be the 2020 election. And I think it's absolutely critical that that election be conducted in without charges of it being rigged or that there's outside interference. And I think that will be the real test for American democracy, if we can have that election and have it the way it should be.
No doubt. And, you know, listen, the Mueller probe, it's going to be 2 years. We've seen it all, right? I mean, think about it. The president on a daily basis raging against it, denouncing it as a hoax, a witch hunt, whatever you want to call it. You know, and again, you know, listen, his political adversaries hope it'll lead to the end of it as far as his presidency. So, you know, that's that other dynamic to keep in mind when all this is said and done. Just what equates, you know, as far as what will happen if it goes on the other side as far as not being positive regarding Donald Trump.
That's true. And when you think about the current situation, you have the Mueller report pending. You have the national emergency going through the court. You have, it's just unimaginable to me that you have a former director of the FBI touring the country, touting a book in which he claims that perhaps the president is a Russian asset. I mean, where have we come as a country when we have these things going on? And I think it's very complicated, and I think it is a test. In some respects, another way to look at this is that it's a country and a system, constitutional democracy, trying to respond to the tremendous technological change and political change that's going on in the world today. And so some of this is probably should be seen as different, and some of it should be seen as really very abnormal. So we have a variety of important things coming up in the next month to a year and a half to 2 years.
No question. Dr. David Caputo with us, Emeritus Pace. We've had so many crazy stories in the last couple of weeks. You know, I guess this one is a blockbuster in my eyes, one of the top ones, regarding the ex-acting FBI director. It thinks it's possible the president of the United States, David, is a Russian asset. The words from Andrew McCabe, you know, he took over, obviously, running the FBI after James Comey was fired. That's what he told CNN the other night. And he said it's why he took the mind-boggling step of opening an obstruction of justice investigation against Trump, and that after Comey being fired. So he's been making the rounds, the circuit. He believes Trump is undermining the country's top law enforcement agencies, and that being for political gain. Of course, everybody's lashing out at him, calling him a liar, a leaker. But, you couple that story with the New York Times story the other day that the president last year asked then acting attorney general Matthew Whitaker to put a Trump ally in charge of the whole Michael Cohen deal, you know, the investigation. So the Times said there's no evidence that he acted on this alleged request. Of course, Trump denying everything. But, you know, those two stories alone, the last couple, I'll tell you, blockbuster, especially McCabe.
Yes, it is. And what makes a McCabe discussion so interesting is that here is a person who we know is a political enemy of the president, released just prior to his pension and so forth, being going into effect, and a person who has had credibility issues. Yet at the same time, I think the key thing that at least I've garnered from McCabe's book and his testimony to date is the fact that, or his discussion to date, is the fact that the briefing to the high-level congressional delegation that he had back in 2017, in which he supposedly informed them that he had opened an investigation into the president, the fact that that did not leak from any of them, the fact that none of them have openly said that they denied that that happened, I think that's some interesting development there. And then when you look in terms of where this leads us, it, you know, they really about the Lindsey Graham says he wants to do an investigation to get to the bottom of it, but to do that, it really comes down to almost he said type of thing. And unless president's willing to testify under oath, I don't think you're going to ever get this thing resolved. So we're definitely down a hole here in terms of trying to figure out exactly what's going on. And I think the public, in terms of trying to digest what the Times has said, which was really many things, but basically a summarization of all the attempts to, in their opinion, to derail the investigation, also provides powerful information. But going back to your point, there does not seem to be a major shrinkage or extension of the president's base of 35 to the low 40s% in terms of the American population. So we'll have to wait and see exactly what happens as we go forward to 2020.
No question. Dr. David Caputo with us. We brought up 2020 many a time, and Bernie is back, David. You know, he has announced his run. Listen, unknown long shot who went pretty far way back in 2016. He raised a lot of money, you know, after the announcement, the first 12 hours, what was it, $4 million or so? I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, it's interesting to me that at least, you know, we hear about the term affirmation form. That's for candidates to sign and certify, just to kind of explain to the audience that they'll run and serve as members of the Democratic Party. I kind of find it somewhat interesting because he hasn't declared yet fully with regarding his campaign. I wonder if he'll sign that affirmation form with the Democratic Party.
I think if he feels that he has a serious chance of winning the nomination, then I think you'd have to say that he does at this point. I think he would have to sign it, otherwise he's not in the debates and so forth, which I think would be very difficult for him. I think that Senator Sanders is in a unique position. When you go back to 2016, you could argue that if the Democrats did not have their rule about their superdelegates, that in fact he would have been in position to have changed the nomination and could have won the nomination. So I think in terms of the situation that he finds himself in, you know, still well organized, still able to make contact with the average voter. I mean, the average and that money that's been raised, apparently average amount is between $25 and $30, and so he's still attracting his base followers. Whether or not other candidates who are running also to the left in the Democratic Party, whether or not they'll be able to attract some votes away remains to be seen. I do think it is very early and very difficult to try to handicap 2020 for the Democrats. There is one other thing that I would just mention about 2020, which doesn't get a lot of play, but which I think should be a factor, and that is whether or not there will be a credible Republican jumping into the race against president. Governor Wild has indicated that he may do so. I think that if there is a challenge within the Republican Party, that changes the dynamics of the Republican nominating process. Not necessarily that that person would defeat the president, but would cause the president to have to spend some time and money and energy dealing with the challenge, which would make the dynamics vis-a-vis the Democratic Party during the primaries much different.
Now, listen, I don't think it's going to be a William Weld type if that individual is going to beat President Trump. I think it's going to take a little bit of a stronger personality than the former governor of Massachusetts. So that'll be an interesting dynamic. But, you know, one thing regarding Bernie, I mean, listen, and we know how well he did. You know, he was kind of the flavor of the month, you know, so to speak, way back. And scoring a lot of points over Hillary. And listen, I get it. I just think that a lot of his policies are kind of mixed in the sauce, so to speak, as far as amongst other ideas of other candidates. I mean, let's face it right now. You and I both know when Joe Biden announces, and he will in the next couple of weeks, that he is running. I mean, he is the guy, and you can cut to the chase, David, in my opinion, as far as the Democrats are concerned. If you think you have a chance to take out Trump, you're going to have Biden, and at least in my opinion, put on the ticket Kamala Harris. You know, a Biden-Harris ticket is a formidable one to take Trump out.
Possibly, but I think, you know, you're balancing your strengths in such a way that we know that California is going to be very difficult to imagine California not voting for the Democratic nominee. I would argue that you could see Biden-Klobuchar. I think Klobuchar brings some things to the table that others don't. And I think one of the things that this particular election coming up, in my opinion, is going to be decided by the center. And so who's going to be able to appeal to the center the most and be able to, not the nominating process. Nominating process will be decided by the more far right in the Republicans and more to the far left in the Democrats. So, but the general election is going to be decided by the middle. And this is going to be interesting to watch as to things. And clearly, Vice President Biden, in some respects, could be seen as the strongest Democratic candidate, but he also stands for the past. And, that raises issues also that may be difficult for some Democrats and others to accept.
The Golden State in California, you got a little battle going on here. There, Governor Gavin Newsom talking about the 16 states, California one of them, regarding the lawsuit, filing the lawsuit against the declaration in federal court in the Northern District there. You have attorney generals, by the way, all Democrats. Legal action in place, president declaring a national emergency, prompting all of this to go on the U.S.-Mexico border, all in the attempt to build the wall, even though he failed to secure the funding for it in Congress. A lot of critics call it an unconstitutional end run around the legislative branch. We'll see how it fares. But, to me, it's once again, it's about party lines going at it. All Dems, as far as AGs are concerned, attorney generals going up against the president in this thing.
Well, this is not unusual, though. I mean, during the Obama administration, a group of Republican attorney generals were frequently in court opposing everything from environmental to other pieces of executive orders that he had issued. So it's not unusual, but I think it is interesting that we're going to have a major constitutional decision reached by the court, which apparently has broad support of the American public, and that is the American public, by about 2-1 in most of the polling, are opposed to the wall, and also a fairly large majority opposed to declaring the emergency as a way to get it. So this puts court in an awkward position, but the key here for the court will be the constitutional question. And remember, if it's decided in favor of the president, this then means in the future it would be easier for other presidents, both Democratic and Republican, to use this as a tool in their policymaking. And it does have important constitutional issues in terms of changing or at least modifying the relationship between the chief executive and the legislative branch. So it is a very important decision.
No question. And I'll ask you this. The U.S. and Taliban negotiators did resume talks. I guess the terms of the framework in the long-running Afghanistan war on the table and in Pakistan under the proposal, just to kind of bring people up to speed, insurgents would vow to prevent Afghanistan from being used as a hub for terrorism in return for a U.S. military withdrawal. This is a very interesting dynamic that's kind of going under the radar with all that is happening elsewhere. But, you kind of wonder what would be the end result here regarding, the vow and everything else. U.S. military withdrawal has been certainly talked about for a number of weeks now.
Yes, it is important also in terms of some broad questions going on in terms of foreign policy. I think the underlying question that has to be answered is, can the Taliban guarantee that they're in position to restrict the other terrorist groups? Or that assumes there's some coordination and interaction and control. And that assumption may be what ultimately dooms this, even if we were to agree to it. But if they are in position to do that, it would not surprise me to see the deal being struck and the U.S. Leaving for large part Afghanistan. And this has an impact for the whole region. So it is an important set of decisions being reached. And there are a number of these that are sort of under the radar because everyone's concentrating so much on the Mueller probe and not looking at these other issues.
No question. A lot on the table these days, sir. And as always, never a dull day as far as what's happening in and around. Always a pleasure. We'll talk soon. How's that?
That's very good. Thanks a lot, Jay. Take care.
Here you go. The great Dr. David Caputo with us, emeritus Pace, and a retired political science professor over at the Great Pace.